overview of the principles of natural medicine, particularly as related to the use of whole food and full spectrum botanical supplementation as opposed to synthetic chemical, nutraceutical, toxic intervention. So we're going to talk about the need for supplementation and also the differences and why we want to focus on using food supplements rather than synthetics and the usefulness and kind of the principles of that. So, question comes up all the time. How many of you heard this question? Oh, I eat fine. I don't need vitamins. How many of you heard that? Yeah. My diet's good. I don't need supplements, right? How many? We've heard that a million times, right? So untrue. And there's two basic reasons why that's so untrue. And the first is a decrease in supply. So my first question in response to a statement like, I eat fine, I don't need supplements, is, well, let's just see. Maybe keep a food diary, and I'll do this with every patient. I'll keep a food diary. I'll ask them, well, first, would you like me to help you with your diet? 9.5 times out of 10, it's yes. But I ask anyway, because I want them to kind of opt in to me making suggestions. And then they'll keep a 7-day food diary, and I'll review it with them. And I love doing this with the folks who say, oh, I eat fine. My diet's great. I don't need any vitamins. And then we'll actually see what they're eating. And so far, in every instance, it has been so far removed from anything that could possibly adequately nourish a modern human being that it kind of, you know, so we point that out and you say, okay, well, there's some things in here that are great, but we got some deficiencies here. So the first thing is decreased supply. You've got supply and demand. You need adequate supply. People are not getting adequate supply. They're eating processed foods. They're eating, you know, industrially grown foods, which are lacking in vital nutrients, trace minerals, and other elements. And it's just kind of a mess. It's what we call it the SAD, the standard American diet. It's sad. And we have Americans suffer from overconsumptive malnutrition. So they eat too much, but they're starving. And so they've got, you know, Americans on a whole have all these glandular fatigue and weakness and all the rest of it just because they're not feeding their bodies properly with what it needs to function. So overconsumptive malnutrition. And then you've also got to combine that with an increased demand. Any stress, environmental pollution, any kind of health problem from, you know, back pain to cancer is going to increase the body's need for nutrients a lot. So we have to get past these RDAs or DVs or whatever the percentages they list on the label. Those are based on rat studies and are not designed for individual nutritional needs. So they're completely irrelevant. And so we have to go, if we actually want to alter human physiology, we have to provide physiological doses of nutrients from foods. And the way we do that is with the whole foods approach. And the whole foods approach, the whole food approach is the diet. So we want to get them off of the processed, chemically altered foods, the carboholic, starch-laden bread, pasta, white flour, white rice, all of that kind of stuff, onto more of a whole food, less starch diet. And then the second thing is we use the whole food supplements. In either case, we're working with a whole foods approach. We want a minimally processed, organic food-based diet as much as they can. You know, not everybody can't do perfect all the time, but you do what you can. And then to use supplements that are made of food to support and fill in the gaps. But not just fill in the gaps, but actually promote function. That's what we're interested in. We're interested in optimizing, helping people optimize their lives. And they can't do that if they're suffering from malnutrition. So this is why nutritional supplementation is necessary for everybody. There's too much vibrational intensity present in the world for the diet alone to adequately nourish the physical form, which is dealing with a lot of vibrational stress and challenges in these days. So we do need to support optimal function. And there's right there is typical American breakfast, right? Coffee and a donut. Coffee and a donut. Standard American, maybe it's a bagel instead. I mean, bagel and coffee. You know, standard American breakfast, right? And this is, you know, oh, and police officers especially, right, sure, sure. So, anyway, and then, you know, they're under a whole lot of stress, so they need a lot of support, and they're not getting it from Dunkin' Donuts or whatever it is. There's Dunkin' Donuts around here, right? Yeah. I never know when I mention national chains, like what's in what part of the country, so. I forgot where I was. I think I was in California. I mentioned some supermarket. They're like, "What's that?" And it's like, "Whoa!" You know, anyway. So there's two approaches to nutrition. In the beginning, back in the early 1900s, the field of nutrition was as of yet undifferentiated. It was all new, and it was kind of one thing. And then it diverged, and the first divergence was into reductionism. In other words, a drug approach to nutrition. A pharmaceutical, pharmacological, what we call nutraceutical approach to nutrition. And the other branch, which remains true to the original principles, was that of holism. And so the holistic philosophy means that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So you don't want to isolate specific chemicals. You want to give the body the whole food. You can concentrate that food by taking out the water, taking out the fiber. What are you left with? The nutrition. And so you concentrate the foods to a physiological therapeutic dose by removing the water and fiber and delivering that in the form of a capsule or tablet. And that's what we call nutritional integrity. You're not isolating individual elements. So I draw pictures. I like to draw pictures for patients as much as I can. I draw terribly, so they're all very simple. So I'll say a name of vitamin. Okay. Vitamin A. Okay, this is vitamin A complex. And it contains dozens of nutrients. Actually, hundreds of nutrients. Now, what they did was, in the reductionist nutraceutical pharmaceutical approach, they would take one component, in this case, beta-carotene or pro-vitamin A, and extract that out of the whole A complex and just do a pharmacological dose of that one single chemical out of the whole complex, creating a drug. So when we look at synthetic vitamins, we're talking about over-the-counter drugs that people are taking. And all the data is now coming in the past few years that taking synthetic vitamins does more harm than taking no vitamins. Overall mortality risk from taking a multivitamin like Centrum, Theragram M, Daily This, Mega That, whatever, increases by 16%. So, it's in another seminar, but it's that was quoted even in Reader's Digest, if you can imagine that. If you go to rd.com, readersdigest.com, they have an archive. You can order the article, and it's called The Vitamin Hoax. The Vitamin Hoax. It just came out a couple of months ago. Great issue. Sort of great. They basically said, don't take vitamins, just eat a good diet, which doesn't work. And they were only talking about synthetic vitamins, not food concentrates. So they kind of bashed vitamins, which is good in that they were exposing synthetic vitamins, but they didn't actually let people know they could take food vitamins or food-based vitamins that won't kill them. And so they quoted all these studies that showed increased risk of prostate cancer and cancer in general, prostate problems, a whole range of things from people who take synthetic vitamins. So yes, synthetics. Okay. They're beautifully made, high quality, super pure, really clean drugs. I'm not allowed to name the companies, but you are. So, I mean, that's just what it is. These are, you know, they're made up to pharmaceutical specifications, maybe, but they're still drugs. They're single chemicals given at drug doses, right? Your body, you know, so this is say 10 or 20,000 units of beta carotene. That's just so much more than your body can handle. It becomes a toxin. It's not a physiological dose or a functional dose. It's a drug dose. And you're giving pharmacological doses of single chemicals. What do we call that? Pharmacology. So at least they're honest about it. They call it nutraceuticals, right? Nutrient drugs, right? Nutrient drugs. Single nutrients given as drugs. That's what they are. And this is what 99% of the population, at least, is taking. When they're taking vitamins, they're taking this synthetic toxic material. So the holistic approach was pioneered by Royal Lee, founder of Standard Process, who was a dentist, found out that mouth problems were a reflection of systemic nutritional deficiencies and created food concentrates to nourish the whole system and restore dental health, as well as the health of the whole system. Weston Price, please. Yeah.
How bad do you think nanotechnology is?
Question is, how bad is nanotechnology? It could be one of the greatest health challenges we have faced in a long time.
And is it true that more or less what we're doing, what they're doing, is using microchips to pierce the cell wall and distribute the toxin?
There's different levels of this, in terms of introducing, adverse things into the body. But nanotechnology as related to nutrition, well, nanotechnology is a huge problem because you're using stuff that's measured in microns or smaller that goes under the body's radar. It's so small, the immune system just doesn't see it. The cell membranes just don't even see it. The gut lining just doesn't, it's just so small. And nanotechnology is being touted as, if you read the book Nano Future, talks about this, where the future is going to be nanotechnology and engines will be replaced. You can power a jumbo jet with a nano engine this big, and it'll be several times more powerful than any jet engines have ever been. It'll be this big. That basically, so they're talking about all these wonderful things. What they're not telling you is that the production of nanomaterials, they're so small, how do you contain them? Is an environmental exposure, I guess you'd say, that just leaks out. It's so small they can't see it. And then it gets into the body without the body knowing. So it affects the body without the body having a chance to recognize it. And that's the biggest problem, where it enters cells and evades normal defenses. And that's a huge problem. So it's the manufacturing side is a huge problem, and then the what it does to your body is a huge problem as well. So this whole nano-nutraceutical thing is just a nightmare. I think it's pretty awful. So and I think it's something that should be actively avoided. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're just messing with stuff we shouldn't be messing with. It's like genetic engineering. Just should not be messing with that stuff, like cloning stuff, and just not cool. Yeah, it's very unnatural. Yeah, so anyway, so that's that. So what we're interested in is this holistic approach. The reductionist approach is you isolate something to its smallest part. And so this led to prescription drugs, pharmaceuticals, and it led to nutraceuticals, which are nutrient chemical drugs, over-the-counter drugs. And this is the basis for modern medicine, is pharmacology. It's the basis for modern clinical nutrition, is pharmacology. Instead of giving the patient, a prescription drug, you're giving them a synthetic nutrient. It's the same thing. So this, again, creates unwanted adverse effects. Synthetics, including drugs and nutrients, mandate change. That's one way to think about it. They mandate change. This will happen. This will change. It mandates biochemical, physiological change. The body doesn't have a choice. Food and botanical therapy is a suggestion that the body come back to balance. Does that make sense? You see the difference between a suggestion and a mandate? Right? Anytime you mandate something, you know, you can have unwanted effects elsewhere. That's why prescription drugs are the third leading cause of death. So what we're interested in is making a healthy suggestion that the body come back to balance and work better by giving you foods. So that's the basic idea. Foods just work better. Vitamins are not single chemicals. The FDA Labeling Act of the 1940s changed everything, because before the Labeling Act, just as one example, vitamin E, before it was labeled vitamin E, was referred to as the anti-sterility factor. It promoted fertility and reproductive function in men and women and prevented infertility. That was vitamin E. Then the Labeling Act came along. The drug industry, which controls the government to a significant degree, got the government to pass the Labeling Act. And then after that Labeling Act in the 1940s, if you produced a product that was vitamin E or had vitamin E in it, or you called it vitamin E, whereas before the Labeling Act, it was wheat germ oil. Wheat germ oil was vitamin E. Vitamin E was wheat germ oil. They were one and the same. After the Labeling Act, vitamin E could only be a single chemical called alpha-tocopherol. And then all of the research done on vitamin E and reproductive function, reproductive health, showed no benefit. Right? Before the Labeling Act, vitamin E was wheat germ oil, and it was tremendously helpful at promoting reproduction, but after it was just alpha-tocopherol, it had no benefit on reproductive function and doesn't. So you have to, this is just one example, vitamin C, right? The anti-scurvy factor, it was called, was a complex from foods, limes, lemons, citrus, buckwheat, great sources of vitamin C complex. After the Labeling Act, what was it reduced to? A single chemical, right, ascorbic acid, which until a few years ago, right, which is useless, can't prevent scurvy, it makes scurvy worse. But until a few years ago, the biggest plant for producing all the world's vitamin C was Roche pharmaceutical company in Kentucky, I think, made it out of petroleum. And that's what, for decades, ascorbic acid was made of petroleum. All synthetic vitamins are made of petroleum or coal tar. But I just found out the world's biggest vitamin C factory is in China, and they make it out of genetically modified corn syrup. And that's where everybody's vitamin C is coming from, the corn source. So the same five drug companies basically make all the world's vitamins. Doesn't matter whose bottle it's in. You mentioned some companies or professional lines. You can mention some retail lines. It doesn't matter. They're all the same vitamins that come from the same five drug companies all over the world. Right?
And corn syrup would be labeled natural.
They're all labeled natural. The word natural is meaningless. It just means it occurred somewhere on this planet. So it's a meaningless term. Over here, please.
Some of them even name them whole foods because they put a drop or two of whole food in it.
That's right.
Most of it's synthetic.
Yes.
Because it says whole food in the label.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it is.
Doesn't mean it. You have to read the label. One company is particularly slick. They take a vat of yeast and they dump synthetic vitamins into the yeast. The yeast, as it's fermenting, incorporates the synthetic vitamins into its substance, and then they dry it and stick it in a pill, and they call it a whole food vitamin from yeast. Now, if you look at the amounts, those amounts are impossible to achieve with a food concentrate. Right? John Courtney, Royal Lee's right-hand man for decades, head of research and development for Standard Process, said if you wanted to get 500 milligrams of naturally occurring ascorbic acid in a food concentrate, the pill would be the size of a golf ball to have that 500 milligrams of naturally occurring ascorbic acid. So, to the extent that the pill is smaller than a golf ball, it's synthetic, regardless of whether they dumped it into yeast first and quadrupled the price or whatever they did. It's all the same.